All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 14. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right in front of you. You may feel free to use it. And the book of Job is about halfway through the Old Testament. It's on page 664, if you have the same Bible I do. Now, let me explain something to you. Due to the living cross and the kettle drums and the cymbals and everything being right over here, the vibrations and all of that disturbed our deaf folks, and so they asked if for the living cross they could move over on this side. And so I said, well, yeah, I don't care. And so they moved over to this side, and now they like it over here. And so they want to stay over here. All right, so that's where they're going to stay. All right? Huh? So y'all can sit over here now. That's my point. That's the point I was making. If you want to sit over here, and I know some folks got displaced when that happened, but these seats over here are the exact same as these seats over here. Well, evidently not, because... Well, you get the point, all right? I'm not going to argue with him. I'm just not going to argue with him. If you want to argue with Marty, you go ahead and argue with Marty. I'm not going to. All right. So that's why our deaf folks are sitting over here on this side. All right. Job 14, are you there? All right, now let me tell you a little something about Job, okay? Job is the oldest book in our Bible. The book of Job was written right after the flood. It was miraculously preserved by God. You remember that Moses wrote the law, the book of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And while they are first in the Bible, actually the book of Job is older than is the law. Job is older than Genesis. And it's an amazing book. When you read this book and see the discussion, there are several folks who bear their heart and soul in this book, including Job and his three friends and Job's wife. And God speaks and the devil speaks, and it's just amazing when you read this book to realize that these were brilliant people. These were people who, these were not cavemen, and they were not Neanderthals. These were brilliant people, and they lived real lives. They were real people, and they had real experiences, and they wrote down their thoughts. And that's what we have in this book. Now, in verse 14, we have Job thinking. He is thinking about his life. He's thinking about what has transpired and what has happened. You remember that Job was afflicted. I personally do not think that Job knew what God was allowing to happen to him. And all of a sudden, all these problems start coming. And I think that Job was dealing with all these physical problems, and he had all these issues, and all this tragedy was occurring around him. And he did not know that the devil had gone to God and that God had lifted his hand and allowed the devil the opportunity to attack Job like he did. And so all this stuff is happening to Job. And he is just thinking and writing down his thoughts. And in verse 14 of this 14th chapter, he asked a question. And I want to use it this morning for the message that I would like to speak to you about. If you look at verse 14, Job asked this question. If a man die, shall he live again? Now let me just stop right there and ask, have you ever asked that question? Have you ever asked what is beyond this world? What's going to happen to me when I die? I dare say that every one of us has thought about that somewhere along the way. That is a question that comes into the mind of everybody. You get a little pain in your chest. Then all of a sudden you start thinking, what about life after death? The doctor gives you a bad report. Something happens. You get in a bad car accident. You wake up in the hospital all bandaged and bruised up and cast on. And then you start thinking to yourself, what if I had died in that accident? We all think of this question. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call my sermon this morning the $100,000 question. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I want you to know something, folks. Change is coming for each and every one of us. You know, some of these young people, they think that, you know, they're going to live forever. No, you're not. One of these days, you're going to wake up and you're going to be old. It just happens. One of these days, after working in the yard, you're going to wake up the next morning and go, oh, good grief. What did I do? Carry an elephant all day yesterday? Everything hurts. And you realize that things are changing. And so I want to use this morning, question written by a brilliant man years ago. And he wondered, if a man die, shall he live again? The $100,000 question. Let's pray. Father, I pray you will speak to our hearts this morning. Thank you for your eternal word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God to our hearts. Help us all to think as did Job. Just to ask the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And Father, help us to personalize this morning. What would happen to me should I die? Oh Lord, help us today to think on these things. And I pray that you will fill me with your spirit and bless and help me as I speak today. May the word of God make a difference in somebody's life today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Since man has been on the planet, the question asked by Job has been in the minds of men. It is a certainty that this earth upon which we live is just really one big graveyard. From that day, way back in the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve stood over the body of their slain son, Abel, slain by the hands of his own brother, this question has been asked. If a man die, shall he live again? I think that every grieving spouse, every broken-hearted son or daughter who has lost a parent, every mom and dad who has had to bury a child has asked this question. It is the $100,000 question. If a man die, shall he live again. You see, folks, this question has been the reason for all the world's religions coming into existence. Greek and Roman and Norse mythology were all designed, were all created in order to answer this question. Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, all the other isms in the world, all the rest were ultimately conceived to answer this question that inevitably comes to mind when a loved one is lost to death. Men have, since time began, been trying to come up with an answer for this question. The atheist will tell you that man does not live again. They will tell you that man is just flesh and blood. And so when death comes, nothing happens. That's it. We're done. We go nowhere. Death is the end of us. Napoleon said, "Knock me in the head, where then is my soul?" The agnostic, that's the person who takes his name from the Greek word at the beginning of it, meaning no, and gnosis, meaning to know. And you put the two together, and the agnostic is the person that says, "I don't know. I don't know that there is a God." He will not say, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." He calls himself an agnostic and says, "I don't know if there's a God." It's basically the same thing. It's just trying to soften the blow. But he will tell you that there is no way to know what is beyond life here. The world's most famous agnostic was a man named Robert Ingersoll. And Ingersoll said, "Why should we fear that which will come to all of us? We cannot tell if the grave is the end of life or the door to another, or whether the night here is not a dawn somewhere else." So there's a lot of answers to Job's question. Men have spent their lives trying to find an answer to Job's question. But then there's the Bible. The Bible gives us another viewpoint on this $100,000 question. Job said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And to that question, the Lord Jesus speaks as clearly as man can speak. And the Lord Jesus offers an answer that is full of hope and full of comfort to mankind. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1 and 2, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." There's your hope. There's your answer. You see, science offers us no hope. Atheism offers us no hope. Agnosticism offers us no hope. But the Lord Jesus offers hope to mankind. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." You see, our immortality is based on the Lord Jesus Christ and on Christ alone. The Lord Jesus coming to this world has forever changed our understanding about this question that we all ask. So I want us to look at a few things on this Easter Sunday morning that the Lord Jesus did for us, which shows us the answer to this $100,000 question. What did Jesus do for us? Let me give you a couple of things from the Bible that shows us the Lord answered this question for us. If a man die, shall he live again? The first thing I want you to see is this. And we're going to stick with what the Bible says. Is that all right? Let's just stick with what the Bible says. And the first thing is, the Lord Jesus brought light to immortality. Have you ever been in a situation where you were trying to see something and it was a little dark and you couldn't see it very clearly, and you looked over your shoulder and said, honey, bring a light over here. And somebody brought a flashlight and turned that flashlight on and brought light to what you were looking at. Well, that's what Jesus did with this matter of immortality. He shined a light down upon it so that all of us could see it clearly. Hold your place here in the book of Job and go over to the New Testament for just a minute, to the book of 2 Timothy. And let me read you what the Apostle Paul said that the Lord Jesus did for us when he came and gave his life on Calvary's cross for our sin. Let me have you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Verse 10, and I will wait for you to find it because I want you to see this. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. All right, everybody got it? Look at verse 10. In verse 10, Paul said, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Now, did you see that? This is a truly amazing statement by the Apostle Paul. Paul said that the Lord Jesus has abolished death. You see, folks, the wages of sin is death. And Jesus came and abolished death for us. And then Paul said that he hath brought life and immortality to life. Notice that Paul did not say that the Lord Jesus discovered or invented the idea of immortality, but instead, Paul said that Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, through what the Lord Jesus did for us when he was here 2,000 years ago, he answered all of the questions about the subject of if a man die, shall he live again? You see, what was in the shadows before, when Jesus came, was brought out into the light. When Jesus resurrected from the grave and was victorious over death, his victory became our victory. And for as long as the gospel has been preached, received, understood, and believed, God's people have had hope that the rest of the world knows nothing about. John Wesley used to say to his church folks all the time, he said, "Our people die differently. We don't sorrow as other folks who have no hope." Man, I have been to funerals and preached funerals myself where there was absolutely no hope that the person in that casket had faith in Jesus Christ. And folks, I will never stand before a family and give them a false hope. I never will do that. That is deceptive. And I'm telling you, those are the hardest funerals in the world to preach, where you know that the person who is before you had no hope and no faith whatsoever in Christ. But I have also preached many a funeral sermons where you know from the life and the testimony and the faithfulness that that person had trust in Christ. And I'm telling you, some of those turn into revival meetings. There is hope in the Lord. And when Jesus resurrected from the grave, his victory became our victory. Mankind has always had hope of immortality. History proves this to be true. Think of this, folks. Man is the only creature who entombs his dead. The only one. I have been to Cairo, Egypt, and I have visited those great pyramids where the pharaohs were entombed in those colossal pyramids that would have taken thousands of men and thousands of hours to build. But I have also followed a hearse to every cemetery in Carroll County as an eloquent witness to the hope and the instinct of everlasting life. And this is what the Lord offers the world through his gospel. The Bible teaches us that when we have faith in Christ, that we have the hope of eternal life living within us. Folks, to be absent in the body, Paul said, and to be present with the Lord. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and he told us that what they were in life was what they were in eternity, showing us that there is indeed life after death. And so he brought light to that 4,000-year-old question of Job and told us, yes, there is life after this world. There is life. He brought light to immortality. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that the resurrection of Christ is the foundation upon which everything in Christianity is built. If Christ did not resurrect, that means, folks, that he is still dead in a grave somewhere over in Jerusalem. And if he did not resurrect and he is still in a grave over in Jerusalem, Paul said that our faith is in vain. He said our preaching is in vain. And he said our hope is baseless. And we are all just wasting our time coming to church this morning. If Jesus died and was buried and he's still dead and he's still buried, then what in the world are we doing here this morning? Man, it's a beautiful day. Let's go fishing. If we have no hope, let's go down and watch the Orioles play baseball. But you see, there is hope. I've been to Jerusalem 15 times. I have gone to that tomb, to Gordon's Calvary. I've been there. And I have looked inside where they laid his body. And every time I've been over there and every time I've looked in, guess what? It's empty. He is not there, for he is risen. And so he brought light to immortality, and he answered the question. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So because of Christ, we know the answer to Job's question. And we know it beyond any shadow of doubt. The answer to the question is, yes, we shall live again. If a man die, shall he live again? The Bible says yes. I'm going to go with that. That's my hope. Second thing, the Lord Jesus confirms man's belief in justice. The Lord Jesus confirms man's belief in justice. You see, folks, we don't see much justice today, do we? As a matter of fact, what we see today is a lot of injustice. Abraham asked God when God told him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham asked God this question, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We all think that God will be just in his judgments, don't we? I should like to think God is just in his judgments. None of us have ever thought that Elijah and Jezebel, or John the Baptist and King Herod, or the Apostle Paul and Nero should, in the end, fare the same. We've all thought evil ought to be punished and good ought to be rewarded. But you know, the world has always had its brutes. The world has always had its tyrants, its thugs, and its bullies. The world has always had those who dared to stand and shake their fists in God's face and seek to usurp their power and their wills over others. But Jesus confirms our thoughts that all men will have to answer to God Almighty. When I was pastoring down in West Virginia, there was a fella in our community, and I stopped one day to visit with him, and he was a very intellectual fella, and he was a very independent fella, and his wife attended our church, and his children attended our church, but he wanted nothing to do with the Lord. And I saw him outside, so I stopped to visit with him. And I invited him to come to church. And that started an argument. And back in those days, I didn't have a whole lot of sense, and I would just stand and argue toe to toe with him. But we got into it. And he said that he believed, and his philosophy was, every man for himself. And I said, oh, really? He said, yes. He said, and I'll be honest with you, preacher, I don't care who gets hurt. It's every man for himself. He said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's all there is to it. And I said, well, do you not fear God? He looked at me with a scowl, and he said, well, I will deal with him if the day ever comes that I must deal with him. And I said to him, no, sir. You will not deal with God. God will deal with you. And by the way, that got to him. And about 2 weeks later, that man came to church. And about a month later, that man walked down the aisle and trusted Christ as his Savior. But it was the Holy Spirit that used that phrase. He said, I'll deal with God. I said, oh, no, you won't. God is going to deal with you. You see, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There may not be any justice here in this world, but there will be true justice in the end. When the day comes that Pharaoh stands before the Lord Jesus at the great white throne, he will discover the answer to the question that he asked of Moses, who is God that I should serve him? Pharaoh will know the answer to that question. Herod will discover that John the Baptist was God's voice crying in the wilderness, warning him to repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand. He will know. And the righteous will enter into life, and the unrighteous will enter into death. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And again, the answer, yes. Yes, he will. There will finally be justice when the Lord Jesus comes to rule the earth. You may have a difficult time figuring out right now which is wheat and which is a tare, which is wheat and which is the chaff. You may have a hard time right now figuring out what's right and what's wrong, but I'm here today to tell you, folks, based on the authority of the Word of God, the Lord Jesus will look upon it all with those piercing eyes and know the thoughts and the intents of every heart. Then thirdly, the Lord Jesus once and for all answered man's question. Let's go back to Job for just a minute. Here's his question. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? And you know, old Job wrestled with that question, as has many a man wrestled with it. Where am I going when my life is over? And you know, old Job sat and thought about it, and he battled it back and forth in his own mind. But look over at chapter 19 for just a minute. I find hope here because Job figured out the answer. Job figured out the answer. You say, how did he do that, Pastor? It's called faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. And Job had faith. Look at verse 23. In verse 23, Job said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book." Well, God did print Job's words in a book. You know why he did that? So you and I could sit here this morning and read Job's words and realize, yep, there was a man just like me, lived one day years ago, and he figured it out. And God could speak to your heart and say, hey, you need to figure this out too. Job said, I wish that my words were written in a book. Well, God honored that request, and God put his words in a book. It's called the book of Job in your Bible. Then look at verse 24. He said that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. Look at verse 25. What do you want to say, Job? Well, here's what I want to say. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. You see, 4,000 years ago, folks, Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? And Job wrestled with that question, as has many a man wrestled with that question. Where am I going when my life is over? And thank God, old Job became a man of faith, and Job answered his own question and said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And folks, that is the foundation of our faith. We are here this morning because we believe that our Redeemer liveth. They took him. And they nailed him to the cross at Calvary. And on that cross, he bled and he died. The soldiers came to break his legs to assure that he die quickly, because they had to have him off the cross and in the ground by 6 o'clock, according to the law, in the evening. But when they came to break his legs, they saw that he had already died. So they took him from the cross and they wrapped him in linen. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. That's what he was wrapped in when he was born, if you remember. A symbol of the way he would die. And they wrapped him in the linen and then laid his body in the borrowed tomb of Joseph. You say, why did they borrow a tomb? He would only need it for 3 days. Why buy one when you're just going to need it for 3 days? Amen? And on the third day, just as he had said, the stone was rolled away and Jesus was resurrected from the dead. When the women and the disciples came to the grave early on that Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. The angels were there in the tomb and they looked at those that were seeking the Lord and they said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. If a man die, shall he live again?" That was Job's question. Hey, folks, Jesus answered the question. Yes. Yes. And that's why our faith is so strong. That's why all over the world, multiplied millions of people will go to a church service and they will honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Folks, plainly put, his resurrection assures our resurrection. The atheist can only hope that he dies and that is it. He can only hope that he never has to stand before God and give an account of his own unbelief. The agnostic who says, "Oh, we cannot know for sure," can only hope that he does not have to give account before God Almighty. But the Christian standing firmly upon the authority of the Bible can say, as did Job, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." But look at what else Job said. Look at the rest of verse 25. Not only did he say, "I know that my Redeemer liveth," but he also said, "I know that my Redeemer shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." And you know what Paul calls that? Paul calls that the blessed hope of the believer. You see, this same Jesus is coming again. You remember when in the Gospels they walked to the Mount of Olives, the disciples and their Lord, and he ascended up into the clouds, and the Bible says a cloud received him out of their sight. They stood and watched as he went up to heaven, and they were standing there staring up into the clouds, and two angels appeared, and they said to the disciples, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" This same Jesus, not a different one, the same one that they had just spent 3.5 years with. The same one that was crucified and buried and resurrected and just spent 40 days and nights with them and just ascended to heaven. The same one, the angel said, he's coming back again. The same way you saw him go, that's the way he's coming back. And Job, 4,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he will stand on the earth." And then you keep reading through that Bible and you see that when he comes back, and by the way, he could come back today. There's absolutely nothing preventing him from coming back. You talk about an emergency UN meeting. When he comes back and millions are missing, oh, they're going to get together real quick. What do we do now? Uh-oh. That's going to be the biggest uh-oh the world has ever groaned. Uh-oh. Where'd all those Christians go? Where'd that guy that hollers down, he screams and hollers down at open door? He's been hollering about the Lord's coming back. You reckon this was it? Reckon, that's a West Virginia word. You got that right. If you don't understand hillbilly, you sometimes have a hard time understanding what I'm saying. Do you think, do you reckon that he was right? Well, I tell you what, folks, he's coming. And Job said way back there, he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth and that he will stand on the earth in the last days." And boy, you keep reading through this Bible and sure enough, boy, there it is taught in the Bible. Jesus is coming back. And not only is he coming back, but he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. Wow. And that's why we're here this morning. We believe that. Why do we believe that? Because it's in the book. The world has done its best to disprove this book. And you know, they can't. You say, well, there's errors in the Bible. Find one. Don't you think if the New York Times, if there were errors in this Bible, don't you think the New York Times would have already had that as its headline? Don't you think that the Clinton News Network, CNN, don't you think that they would have already had that on the news hour? The Bible's wrong. No, you've never seen that. And the reason you haven't is because the Bible's not wrong. And just think about it, folks, all over America, there are millions of people who believe that if a man die, he shall live again. And they're following what's in this book, the Bible. That's our faith. That's our faith. And my point to you this morning is that Jesus Christ came as the solution to the problem that all men have. Where am I going to go when I die? Where am I going to go? You see, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. And the only way to have your sin problem taken care of is to come to Jesus and be saved from your sin. That's the only way. So Job asked the question. He thought it through. And then he came right to the answer. He said, Jesus, my Redeemer, he's my answer. Oh, by the way, folks, he's your answer too. That's how I know that I'm going to heaven. My faith is in the Lord. So let me ask you, is your faith in the Lord? You say, well, I sure hope I get there. I don't hope, I know. I know. For I know whom I have believed. And I know. There's no doubt about it. These things write we unto you that ye may know. Not speculate or... No, you can know that you're going to heaven. So if a man dies, shall he... Would you just personalize that? Instead of asking generally, if a man died, won't you just personalize it? Just right here this morning where you are. If I should die, am I going to heaven? Just ask yourself that question. Oh, by the way, I can't save you. And the Church of the Open Door cannot save you. And that baptistry up there can't save you. You say, well, preacher, if a church can't save me, what? Who can't? The Redeemer. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you got to come to Jesus and let the Lord Jesus save you.